But I'd like the opportunity to introduce Ken, because Ken has some dynamic teaching techniques. But I got to tell you, I'm going to tell you a little where Ken came from, because this is the other part of the story you usually don't hear. I met Ken in the late 80s. We shared a lot of the same friends. And I think the last time Ken and I shared a venture together, he came to see me with a business opportunity. We worked it hard. So we've been down some roads. Now, Ken, of course, has a spinal condition. And he had come to the house, and he was broke, and I was broke. And, I mean, when we say we were broke, we were broke. And we were trying to make this thing work. And so between us, we'd always have $5 or $6 and a little change. And he'd sleep on our couch. And I didn't realize at the time how disastrous that was for him. And we'd get up in the mornings, and there's an ice cream place in Oklahoma called Brahms. They make the best sausage and biscuits. And we'd get up, and for a dollar, we could have a full order of sausage, biscuits, and gravy, and we'd split that, and we'd put what change we had left in the gas tank, and we'd go driving around selling and working our business. And I noticed Ken has never stopped. The number one money earner. Now, that is tremendous, people. And you say, well, this guy can retire. He doesn't retire. As a matter of fact, he's starting over again. So it's been a real privilege to hear how he talks to people on the phone, how he works with his leaders, how he works with people that are just inquisitive about this business and this opportunity. So things haven't always been successful. And I think that's a good story, because it shows that we don't have to give up hope. There's no magic, there's no secrets to being successful. Here today, now I'm not sure what all he's going to talk about, but I hope that he talks to you a little bit about perceived value, about not only our business, but this industry. So anyway, without any more from me, I'd like to introduce my good friend and colleague, Ken Rowland.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that that Wally talked about. The one thing you can believe for sure is about those biscuits. So, you know, a lot of times we don't know where people have been. We see where they're at, but we don't know where they've been. You know? And so, and in this industry, there's a tendency to judge people. That can be very detrimental to your business, because you can't prejudge in this business. Yes, there's certain things we can do to help our business and to help people. And that's sort of what I'd like to talk to you about, if I may. What is your perception on network marketing? It's sad to say, but that's our biggest hurdle. You know, is that network marketing? Has anybody ever heard that? It's that perception that they have. That is the biggest hurdle, but network marketing. It's because of this perception. That's our number one hurdle. How many here believe that franchising is legitimate? See, just about everybody. It's a very legitimate business, right? But do you realize that back in the 50s, when franchising first started, people had a terrible perception about this? You know why? They were companies that were setting up big corporations and getting people to invest thousands of dollars in their franchise, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you know what they actually did? In some cases, they set up a pyramid scheme where if you would bring in somebody else, you'll get a commission and so forth and so on. The perception that people had of franchising was terrible. Just about the same perceived value that people have about network marketing. So network marketing is about the same place in history where franchising was back in the 50s. But what happened with franchising? In 1952, legislation was adopted. The government and people got fed up with it, of people losing their money. You see, franchising was considered an investment network marketing is not considered an investment. So that's why there's no regulatory requirements in network marketing, because it's not an investment. But what happened was, in 1952, legislation was adopted to vote out franchising. Do you realize 11 votes more against it? You wouldn't go to Kinko's today. You wouldn't go to McDonald's. You wouldn't go to Burger King. 11 votes. It passed. They allowed franchising. But here's what they said. If you continue to promote franchising, you have to supply a person a prospectus. If you're going to invest money, you can look and see exactly what this company is making, how much money they have, what's the average franchise owner make. See, there was a complete prospectus that cleaned that industry up to where now there's franchising all over the world, in Russia, everywhere, because it is a very legitimate business. And those people that duplicate the systems that franchise tells them to do, they're successful. All right, now what's the point, you say? When somebody gets in network marketing, you know, they can get started for, what, $25 for a kit and buy a little product. How much investigating do they do to their company? Do they look at a prospectus? No. See, network marketing, they haven't reached this state, and we may never, because it's not an investment. So what has happened? A company can start on just a nickel or a dime, and they can make themselves look so good. They spend all their money on a few little brochures and a nice little marketing plan, and man, it's exciting. Get on. Man, this is exciting. That's what's happened. How many people are going to fly to the company, check it out before they start? Oh, no. Well, you know, we'll give it a shot and see what happens. So many people get into network marketing because it's simple. There's no big investment. And so what happens? The company goes under, and it gives a bad name. They're calling their friends again. Let me ask you here. If it costs $10,000 to be a distributor, would you check it out a little bit more? How much perceived value would you have when you started your business? Would you have a lot more? Sure you would. That's not done in network marketing. If you treat this business like a $150 business, it's going to treat you the same way. Let me give you a scenario. We'll say that a person invests $500,000 for a franchise. It was a hamburger place. After he invests all this money, do you think he would wake up at night and get so excited and say, "Man, all my life I've been wanting to flip hamburgers. Now I can do it." Do you think he's excited about that? And then he wakes his wife up and says, "Man, you know what? I get to hire teenagers every 3 or 4 weeks." Now, do you think he gets excited about that? Now, look, that's part of the things that he's got to do to be successful. But he don't look at those negatives. Hey, that's just part of it. What is it that it takes to be successful in network marketing? Well, just get in, tell a few friends, get two, gets two, gets two, gets two. You ever heard that? That's all it takes, just tell a few friends. See, that's that perception again. If you'll get two that get two, boy, you just go down 10 levels and see how many people you got. Has anybody ever heard that before? I'm not saying that geometric growth is not possible. Of course it is. But you got to get to some real basics. Before that can happen, they have to be people that's taught. You have to deal with people and try to reason with them and bring them up just one little notch at a time. You know, we mentioned a while ago about our failures. And Wally could be up here for 2 hours talking about my failures. One time, somebody asked me, he says, "Kim, how many network marketing companies you've been with?" I said, "Well, let me see. How many companies went down?" It seems about that way. But you know what? I knew this. Network marketing didn't let me down. I learned that. I got into network marketing because of this spinal problem. Got to where I couldn't drive and so forth, and the doctor told me, "Hey, you got to do something at home." Hey, listen. The perspective I had on network marketing was about, whew, you can't measure it. I hated it. Because I've been tricked about two meetings. Anybody been tricked to a meeting? That'll give you a perspective. Here's another thing. I went to another meeting one time. Man. And I needed an opportunity bad. And these people meant well. I know now, I look back. But the first thing this lady did, she was the expert because she came from another town. You know what? You can always tell an expert he's from out of town. But you know what? I was sitting there, and the first thing she told me, she says, the biggest problem that you folks are going to deal with in your life with this company, I won't say what company, is all the money you're going to make. I was gone. Mentally, I was gone. That did it. I didn't listen to another word she said. 25 years later, she's right. That turned me off. For another few years later, the doctor told me, hey, you got to do something. You got to get out of the kind of work you're doing. And so me and my wife started looking for something. And I mean, I got every book and magazine in the world. I was looking for some kind of a mail order, you know, something I could sell from home, me and my wife. And a good friend of mine one time called me. He said, hey, come over to my house. I got something. Man, you won't believe it. He said, this food the astronauts took to the moon. I said, really? And see, he didn't tell me his network marketing. If he had, I wouldn't have been there. But anyway, I went over to his house, and they ripped this little pack up, this little pouch. They heated it up and poured it out there. Salisbury steak, best stuff I ever tasted. Woo, I loved it. It was good. It was a whole way, a new way of merchandising foods. And he said, oh, yeah, this sells and so forth. And I didn't know it was network marketing at all. Thought it was just direct sales. I didn't have any understanding. But I got excited. They had all these. This company had all these different foods. They had mashed potatoes. I don't know if there's any difference in either, but it tastes better. Anyway, I got excited. I couldn't sleep because I could see myself selling that food because it was good. Anyway, they says, look, if you'll get a little group of people together, all we do is just educate people. We'll tell them about this food. Hal had a guy fly all the way down in his little airplane in bad weather to be at my house. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I just invited a few people. And man, the whole house was full of people. We was letting people taste this food. Boy, how you get this? Well, here, you know. And before I know it, I was signing up. I didn't know what I was doing. Ignorance on fire, whew, is a whole lot better than knowledge on ice. You know, it was ignorance on fire. I was excited. I mean, I was excited. And, I was doing everything backwards, wrong. But, hey, if you do that, even if you're doing it backwards and if you're excited, I guarantee you, you'll be a success. You can teach somebody how to do something 100% right, and if he's not excited, he ain't going to make it. But if you teach somebody how to do something and he does it backwards, but he's excited, he's a success. I've learned that a long time ago, even in direct sales. I never could learn them long pitches. I couldn't learn them. They gave me this 6-page presentation. I couldn't learn none of it. I'd get through about 6 paragraphs, and that was it. But I was excited. I outsold everybody. Just ignorance on fire. Here are some of the things I started learning. I started learning, you know, that, hey, I was fun. I was dealing with people and talking to people, and we was having eaten this food. Man, we were excited. And this was a good little company. It was exploding. I had people all over. Didn't even know what I was doing. And my perception was, man, I'll go into this little old town. I never will forget one time. Now, I hate to tell this, but I will. Man, I got so excited. I says, man, I'm going to go into this little old town called Tishomingo, Oklahoma. You ever heard of that? And Bob Eaton's the one who sponsored me into this company. And he had what they call an LDC, a local distribution center for this food. And he had stacks of it. Anyway, I go down to this little town, and I put out leaflets all over town. I spent 2 days going from door to door, store to store, car to car, putting this out. And it says, come and taste the food the astronauts took to the moon. And you know, I even put an ads in the paper. You know, we went rented at the hotel. We rented a back room, about as half as big as this. And we could just visualize people just lining up. I mean, I could just see people. We were worried about having enough room. And we cook all this food, And you know what? Bob says, boy, we better take a lot of food with us. So we took a pickup load. It took him an hour to unload all this stuff. I had this perception. We had it, man, we're excited, man. All these people going to come, and I went out here and did all this. So anyway, the meeting was at 7:30. 7:30, nobody there. And it was about 7:35, 7:40. Somebody knocked on the door. Boy, me and Bob jumped up, you know. It was three gals from the little college there. They said, is this where they're going to taste that food? We said, yeah. They eat everything we had. They were starved to death. No kidding. We didn't even get to talk to them about the business. They just said, oh, this is good. Hey, this is good. Oh, boy, we had all these things. Me and Bob just sat and looked at each other. And, you know, even then I says, there's something wrong. Let's do it in another little town called Holdenville. You ever heard of Holdenville? I go over, I do the same thing. Look, insanity. You know the definition of insanity? You ever heard that? It's doing the same thing over, day in, day out, and expecting a change. So I went to this next little town, same thing. Nobody showed up. So what's my point? We did something, but you know what? I learned how not to do it. See, there's so many things we learn. But let me read you something here. This is from Robert T. Washington. Here's what he says. Success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life as by the obstacles that one has overcome while trying to succeed. Think of that. In your network marketing experience, how much have you had to overcome? If you've just started, be happy that you overcome a whole bunch, because that's part of it. You're going to learn. See, when I got into this first company, boy, I had it going good, and then all at once, they quit paying us. The checks bounced. Now, let me tell you what they did. They stopped their biggest checks and paid the little ones. So the people down on the bottom end were still excited. And I was calling my downline and says, hey, you know, because, look, the one thing we're obligated to do is go to our downline and tell them the truth. And I went down to my downline and I told them, and they says, Ken, don't be so negative. That was tough, because they got their little $20 check. Well, it finally trickled down to nobody got any checks. And it was a rough one, because all that excitement that we had and all the vision that we had and everything that going good, it quit. But you know what? I had about that much more perceived value of network marketing. I was beginning to learn that company let me down. It wasn't network marketing. How many people here have ever got a bad steak? Went and got a bad steak. Tough. Anybody? Did you quit eating steak? See, it's that way with network marketing. Yeah, you might have got a bad taste of network marketing, but really what you got was a bad taste of a bad company or a bad situation. It wasn't network marketing. It wasn't because that there was a payment being made to your downlines for teaching and selling product. That's not the failure. Many people have gotten bit. I'll never do network marketing again. Never. I'll never get into one of them deals again. Well, you know, we can understand how they might feel. It's because of this perception. But see, network marketing didn't let them down. It was just the companies. So what we really have to do is investigate a company, take time. If you're brand new here, hey, go to the company. If you're brand new, go to the company. Get more perceived value. Build yourself up. Know. If somebody asks you, well, how do you know? Have you been up there? No, but I think it's good. Well, okay, that's okay. Sometimes we can't. But you know what? Build that perceived value in yourself. Before I sign up somebody, listen. If you can talk them out of this business, they don't know enough. And I'll talk them out of it, because if I can talk them out of it, I just know I got to educate them more. But see, when I got into network marketing with direct sales, I knew how to close a sale. Wally knows how to close a sale. We know how to ask the right questions. We even had what was called the Columbo close. Remember Columbo? He'd walk out and he'd walk back, you know. We could do that in direct sales. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in network marketing, if you try to close a sale, and you can, it's not duplicatable. This business, it's about making friends. And the second part is about keeping friends. It takes a long time to make a friend, but to keep a friend, it's a lifelong thing. And so that's the way network marketing is. It's a lifelong thing. We have to build this relationship with people. You see, we have to build this relationship. But anyway, what's your perspective? Can it improve? If it does improve, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be a better teacher. There's thousands of people out there right now that's looking for an opportunity. There's literally thousands of people that's lost their jobs. See, there's three things it takes to teach somebody network marketing. First of all, you have to be humble. Now, that's tough sometimes. You have to be ready for change, and you have to be teachable. So those three things is what it takes. There's thousands of people out there that have this perception of network marketing. Now, when they hear, they might walk in here and learn a little bit, and all at once they say, oh, that's network marketing. Be patient with people. Work with people based on their attitude, not their abilities. Because if you go out looking for people's abilities, you'll be disappointed. And I'll tell you what, I can show you people that didn't have what you call great abilities. But they were humble, they were ready for change, and they were teachable. Thank you very much.